The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being a cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Excuse me. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and ran there on foot from all the towns, and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, the disciples said to him, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is late. Send them away to the surrounding countryside and villages, and buy them something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples and said, gave it to the disciples who sat before the people. And he divided the fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. The last few weeks, the gospel lesson has come from the book of Mark, and we've seen many of the mighty deeds of Jesus. We've seen miracles. We've seen him raise the dead. And today he feeds 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. There's only 10 stories that are in all 4 of the gospel lessons, and this account is one of the 10. The story is about an effective ministry done by people through the church. One of the 3 things that it takes for a church to be effective. Effective ministry must begin with compassion. Mark chapter 6, verse 34 says, "So as he stepped ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things." Again and again in the Bible, we read about the compassion of God. In Psalm 86, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in faithful love and truthfulness." From Psalm 145, verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and great in faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone. He has compassion and rest on all that he has made." Jesus' ministry was driven by compassion for people. In Matthew 20, it says, Jesus stopped and called him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they said to him, "open our eyes." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they could see, and they followed him. Compassion is a deep feeling of sympathy and sorrow, but it's an action word. Sympathy is just to feel bad for something, but compassion is that you're driven to do something about it. As I said, true compassion is doing something to help, and Jesus is the perfect example of compassion. He took care of the physical needs of the people. But most importantly, and important for us, is he takes care of our spiritual needs. Romans 8:5 says, "But God proves his own love for us, that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's easy to fall into a trap when it comes to compassion. We'll feel sympathy for someone, but we don't want to do anything because we figure that they're in their situation because of bad choices, bad luck, or self-inflicted. But I'm glad that God didn't say I had to be worthy enough for him to accept me. How should we respond? Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive." The first that are in that list that I read from Colossians was compassion. It's the all-important one, because otherwise it's like a ship dead in the water. When we have compassion, we'll be willing to give up all. We're willing to do all. And we're not going to quit when the work gets hard. Jesus showed what true compassion was by giving up heaven itself and becoming like man. Sorry, I dealt with too many dusty books yesterday. And I think I got too much dust in my lungs. So no, I'm not dying of an illness. I'm dying of dust. The Bible does say, "The dust you are, the dust you shall return." Well, I'm trying to return while I'm still moving. But that's beside the point. Jesus demonstrated compassion when he allowed himself to be beaten, spit upon, and finally crucified on a Roman cross. He demonstrated compassion through his earthly ministry by helping those who were unworthy in everything he did or said. Every ministry in the church, each part of the church, must be birthed out of compassion if it's going to be effective. Mark 6:38 says, "And he asked them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go look.' When they found out, they said to him, 5 and 2 fish. The people were so excited to hear Jesus teach and preach and heal that they had forgotten to bring enough food for them if they were going to be away from home for any time. Which that shows me they didn't have mothers with small children, because mothers with small children always make sure the diaper bag has what? Snack food in it. Maybe because we're back to the days of carrying a diaper bag around as grandparents, I'm aware of the fact that you always got to pack food. But these people did not pack enough food for the day. They were tired and they were worn down. And it says 5,000 men were fed. Then you add the women and the children, and very easily it could have gone over 20,000 people that Jesus fed. We talk about the feeding of the 5,000. It's probably actually the feeding of the about 20,000 or more. And it was an insurmountable problem how to feed them all. Mark chapter 6 says, "And when it was already late, his disciples approached him and said, 'This place is a wilderness, and it is already late.'" The disciples saw the suffering of the people, and they knew the day was late. But their solution to the problem was, send them away, let them go to nearby towns, and try to buy enough bread. What size of town would you need that would have enough extra bread baked for the day to feed 20,000 people? Even if they had sent them away, it was not an answer that would have worked. I wonder how many times that the sick and the ill are turned away without any help. What is the cost because of the church? May God help us here at Good Shepherd that we're never callous to the lost and the hurting people around us. Send them away, the disciples said. That'll fix the problem. But thanks be to God that Jesus had a different solution in mind. His solution was to the disciples, you take care of it. Stop passing the buck to me. You do something about it. He wanted to teach the disciples and us what true compassion is. The disciples were beginning to understand compassion, but they lacked an understanding that they could carry out what needed to be done because Jesus gave them the mission. He equipped them with what they needed to complete the mission. Mark chapter 6 says, a great question, should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Again, they didn't have a local Walmart to be able to buy this bread. Where were they going to find that much bread at that time of day? A denarii was a day's worth of wages. So 200 denarii would have been 8.5 months worth of wages. How many of you carry 8.5 months worth of your wages in your pocket at any given time? Now, see, in Detroit, you wouldn't even admit to carrying a dollar on you. But, of course, nobody does. The disciples didn't have that kind of money. Simply put, nobody had that kind of money to buy the bread, even if it was available. The problem was, Jesus said, you give them something to eat. They started to look for an outside source to help them carry out the mission that Christ had assigned to them. They were looking for someone else to do it, or to at least help them get it done. What Christ actually wanted them to do was to look in on themselves, look that they already had what they needed to feed the people, and then offer it up to God. In other words, put everything into God's hands. Mark chapter 6, verse 38, and he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. What you already have, God has given you to carry out the mission he offers us. Are we going to offer up everything back to him? Everything that we need, God has provided for us. God doesn't need us to look to somebody else to fix our problems. He wants us to look with what we already have and then offer it up to him completely. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.